Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we are going to take up the topic of green burials to begin the show. That often means replacing traditional hardwood caskets with simple cotton shrouds. We'll talk about that. We can talk cremation as well with our guests today. And our first guest is Dawn Adams, funeral director, embalmer, and crematory operator for Foster Funeral Service. It operates in Dane, Rock, and Racine counties. At 11:30, we'll be joined by Shed Farley, who oversees the Natural Path Sanctuary west of Verona. Have you arranged or attended a green burial? Questions or comments about them? Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Dawn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Foster Funeral Services, you help arrange services for folks in southern Wisconsin. Do you work with a variety of cemeteries?
Yes, sir, we do. Yes, sir.
I wondered, how do laws, or are there laws regulating burials from one state to another?
They do vary from state to state. So typically when I have to go to another state, as the directors here at Foster are licensed in Indiana and Illinois, we just connect with that cemetery to see what needs to be done, what they need directly from us before we can proceed with that burial. So it's always good to connect with that cemetery in case there's something different that they want other than here in Wisconsin.
Interesting. What might be different?
Well, sometimes it's a timing. It can be, we have a document that has to go with a deceased to be buried. It's called a final disposition burial transit document. Some cemeteries, they're like, just bring it with you. Some say, can we get it as soon as you have it via email or fax so they can complete their end of their paperwork. They will let us know in terms of cost so we can discuss additional costs with the family. Should it need a vault, an outer burial container, the size of the casket if it's oversized, winter weather, there are extra fees sometimes to open a grave. Weekends, there are extra fees to open a grave, and certain times of the day are different. So there's a lot of things that we have to put in place.
Yeah, there sure are. Well, you operate a crematory. Why do some people choose cremation over burial?
Cremation is extremely less costly than a burial. And a lot of times, that's usually why family may be choosing that.
Yeah, that makes sense. What is the process of cremation?
The process of cremation, from the time we get the loved one into our care, disinfecting per state law, and then obtaining all the necessary documents. Family fills out paperwork. We enter into the state vital records system. The medical examiner has to see that deceased loved one before they will issue a cremation permit. And then we request that cremation permit from that medical examiner before we are allowed to take the loved one to the crematorium and proceed with the cremation.
Yeah. And, you know, some say cremations or crematories release greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, of course, that maybe a contributor to climate change. How do you address and minimize that?
A crematorium are now, the new machines are a little bit differently, the way the filters are in there. So, yes, there's always going to be some gases coming out of that retort, which is what the machine is called. But it is minimalized. It's not as intense as it was. And nowadays, they want crematoriums kind of set away from residential areas as much as possible. And ours is kind of out of the way of a big residential area.
Yeah. Let's look at green burials for a few minutes. You work with families who wish to have a natural green burial for their loved one. What are these initial conversations with family members like?
Initially, they'll call first and, you know, ask us, do we do green burials? Yes, we do. And so the process with that is the same paperwork, permission to have that loved one when they pass, and the death worksheet, which is information about that deceased loved one that we have to enter into the state vital records system. We ask the families, when are they looking to have that green burial occur? And most times they're going to the Naturopath Sanctuary in Verona. I will be in touch with Mr. Farley to let him know, hey, I've spoken to this family. And 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, he's already spoken to that family as well. So he's just waiting on a date, and we put together a time.
It's such a different process in so many ways. What do you do to prepare families for natural burials?
So the good thing is most of them already know that's what they want when they reach out to us, but in seating, they know what to expect. Most of them already know that they need to be shrouded in some type of linen garment. Some families provide those to us when they come to sit with us. So a lot of people have been well-versed. So we just go over exactly what we're doing. We're going to disinfect that loved one, and we will shroud them, and then we'll explain what time we'll meet them at the cemetery.
And sometimes I guess there are some biodegradable caskets that can be used, or am I mistaken on that?
If a biodegradable casket is being used, say, for instance, even a wood casket, it cannot have any type of metal on it. So no metal screws, nothing like that. And then at that point, I just have to double check with Mr. Farley to see, are we okay with using that casket and provide him with the dimensions, because he'll need that well in advance to opening that grave space.
Yeah. Well, you are an embalmer as well. Embalming is not done for bodies buried in natural cemetery plots, I assume, and they're probably good reasons.
That is correct. Don't want to let the chemicals that we use for embalming interrupt into that process when that body is going back into the earth.
Dawn Adams, our guest today, funeral director, embalmer, and crematory operator for Foster Funeral Services, operates in Dane, Rock, and Racine counties. And questions for her, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. I'm wondering, how frequently are you accommodating green burials?
How frequent? Well, this year we've already done 2 this year, and this is just March. So it does vary. It does vary.
Yeah. Are the number of requests for green burials increasing in your mind?
I believe so. In our first few years, we may have done 3 in the first 3 to 4 years of being in business. And I would say in the past year to 2 years, we've probably done about 10 easily.
So your own service, Foster Funeral Services, is it unusual to have a company, an organization, I guess, like yours, operating as opposed to just specifying in a specific type of burial?
No, it's not unusual. We are a full-service funeral home. As you stated, we do cremations, we do green burials, we do traditional funerals followed by cremation. So we are a full-service funeral home, and a majority of funeral homes can offer multiple services.
Yeah, and you, I think, indicated that the majority of your burials, the green ones that you oversee, take place at Naturopath Sanctuary near Verona. Why there?
Correct. The families come to us, and they know exactly where they want to go. Mr. Farley is—I love Shed Farley. He is— He is easy to talk to, for starters, but he makes the process of doing a green burial very easy on the family. Makes it very easy on the family.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to have a chance to talk with him at 12:30. I'm sorry, at 11:30 today on the show. Are green burials typically, are they more affordable?
On our end, our green burial right now is $2,600. That includes us picking the deceased loved one up from where they pass away, making sure the disinfection is done, shrouding, getting them to the cemetery, taking care of all of that. What may get added to that is if they're completely out of the area, so there may be some mileage involved. I do not know what Mr. Farley's charges are, so however economical it is, I can't speak to it on the cemetery side.
Yeah. Well, we'll ask him when he comes on the show.
Okay.
I'm wondering, do you get people pre-purchasing? You know, I certainly have family and friends who have pre-purchased traditional grave sites. What about green burial?
We have had that, yes, sir. We've had people do a pre-need and pre-fund various of burial type services, various funeral services through us.
Yeah, you know, most burials are still more traditional. I think you've got nice caskets and headstones. Why do you think more people still choose a more traditional approach to burial?
I think as time has gone on, people just are electing to get away from those harsh chemicals if they can and just go back to the earth.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Curious, how did you get involved in the funeral business in the first place? And, well, talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, when I was about 12 or 13, I mentioned to my parents, pastor and first lady, that I wanted to be a funeral director and have my own funeral home. And they told me I had to wait till I was older, but they would help me when I got older. And unfortunately, my father passed away a few years after that. So when I did graduate high school and went to college, I went into nursing. And I just kept looking at the industry. And when I pronounced my mother in 2010, I went back and Mr. Foster and I met and we proceeded to open Foster Funeral Service. So I went back to school for my mortuary science degree.
Very interesting. Well, how do you handle being around grief? Yeah, and maybe has it changed the way you think about life?
I attribute it all to faith. So being the daughter of a minister, that's how we grew up. So, and then being in the hospitals, I've worked in emergency rooms and operating rooms for probably 24 years. I've seen a lot of deaths, so it doesn't make it normal, nor does it make it comfortable. You just accept the fact that that's the natural part of life. At some point, we're all going to pass away. So you do the best you can for that loved one and that family.
Yeah, that's what you do. And Beth emailed wondering about the approximate cost of a director basic cremation. And yeah, go ahead with that.
Oh, absolutely. Our direct cremation is $2,600 as well. What gets added to that would be the county permit. The county permit is garnered according to what county that loved one passes away in. That's the medical examiner which will issue the cremation permit. And those charges vary. So we just have to know which county the loved one is coming from so we can tell that family how much that permit will be.
And Beth wondered, how do you set up a trust for this for a Medicaid patient? Do you get involved with that at all?
We do. So in terms of doing patients with the Medicaid where they have to do the spend down, any type of trust or pre-need, the family just needs to set up an appointment to sit with the director, either myself or Brian Foster, retired Army Sergeant First Class, to sit with either of us so we can put all of that together, what the wishes of the family are, so we can create the necessary documents to start that trust.
Is there an option for a hybrid burial that mixes both green and traditional elements?
Green and traditional elements. So in terms of a direct burial at a cemetery other than Mr. Farley?
What came to my mind when I saw that question was the green burial itself, but then some sort of get together with family and friends and food and so forth.
Absolutely. There have been a couple of instances where before the actual green burial was to take place, family came to the funeral home. We uncovered so they could see their loved one's face, and they spent a little time with them. We shrouded up and went to the cemetery, and then they had a family get-together afterwards at a place they had chosen. So doing traditional get-togethers after services do accompany green burials as well.
Yeah. What's the process when somebody dies? I mean, where do you start?
Absolutely. So when that loved one is transitioning, the family just needs to call what funeral home they want to use. And if it's a hospice situation or a facility, that staff will call that funeral home and let them know, we have a death, the family has chosen you. The staff from that funeral home goes to pick that loved one up and bring them into the care of that home. And then an appointment is set up with the family to sit down and go over the wishes, take care of the necessary documents, which are permission to have that loved one in the care of the firm, whatever their wishes are, be it embalming, natural burial, whatever their wishes are, to get all the necessary documents taken care of, take care of the death certificate worksheet so their death certificates can be done and issued when they're ready. And then we proceed as we do. We contact the medical examiner to come and view that loved one if it is going to be a cremation so that we can get that cremation permit. We take care of ordering the casket. If it's a burial, we set everything in place. If it's a traditional funeral followed by a cremation, we have rental caskets. They are actual steel caskets designed to be reused for rentals. And we set all of that in place. We let the family pick up the few colors that we have, and we set those in place. And then we set dates together, make sure what dates are going to work, the timing. If they need clergy, we do have chaplains, so we can reach out to our chaplains. And we just kind of put everything together. We'll do slideshows, music, try to help them make it as more memorable as possible for the family.
As you were talking, I was thinking about my brother, Mitch, who about three weeks ago passed away, but I had called. He went into the hospital, didn't look good, thought there were going to be a few days, so I called the funeral home and made arrangements. That was at 9 in the morning. And we were thinking it was going to be a wow, but went into the hospital at around 10:30, and he passed away at noon that day. So I had talked to funeral home at 9 and said, well, who knows when this might happen. And then I had to call up the hospital itself, then called the funeral home at 3 hours later. And so that you described pretty well exactly what happens.
And unfortunately, sometimes that happens. We've had families say their loved one goes into the hospice facility and they're not there 24 hours.
Yeah.
Before they transition. So my condolences to you and your family, though.
Thank you. Denise and Viroqua emailed to say they belong to two organizations here. One's called Threshold Care Circle. The other is Driftless Green Burial Alliance. Are you familiar with those organizations?
No, sir, we are not.
Yeah, I'm not. I wish I knew more about them. But Maybe somebody called in, John, an email to say they thought Wisconsin didn't allow green burials because the drugs in people would leak into the groundwater and not be permitted.
Did they? And we don't put any drugs into them. In terms, you know, at least in our end, we don't do any chemicals, correct?
Yeah, I'm wondering about other trends in burial services that you've seen. For example, is it unusual to bury an urn containing a deceased person's cremains?
It is not unusual. Not unusual at all.
So you could put together your own urn, for example. If you had an urn, if you had a vase or somebody, a very large one, you could actually have the person buried in that.
You can. So here are the issues with that. So the National Funeral Directors Association approves what's called a temporary urn, which is made of durable, hard plastic with a snap-closed lid. Some cemeteries allow those. Cemeteries will allow regular urns that are purchased, metal, wood, marble. The only concern from the funeral home is we need to be in touch with that cemetery to find out if an outer burial container, an urn vault, is necessary to bury cremated remains. And that would be a cemetery-specific question and answer.
Yeah.
And the purpose of an outer burial container is just to protect that loved one in that urn's ashes against the earth's load.
Yeah, that makes sense. A friend of mine died last summer, and and was cremated, and his, Jerry's, remains, during the funeral service, his son carried his remains in a casket made for a cremated individual. A very attractive casket.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so it looked kind of like what you might call a miniature casket.
Yeah.
But, otherwise it was pretty traditional funeral, going to the cemetery and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us today, Dawn, on short notice. It's been a pleasure talking with you. You sound like the kind of person that would be very useful, good to have in a family's corner when the inevitable happens to somebody, a loved one. Thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me speak with you all today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dawn. Dawn Adams is a funeral director, embalmer, and crematory operator. She works for Foster Funeral Services, and they operate in Dane, Rock, and Racine counties. And coming up, we'll be talking with Shed Farley from the Natural Path Sanctuary west of Verona. I am Larry Mueller, and you are listening to WPR News. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today. Just to mention, coming up at noon today, we'll talk with Will Doig, executive editor of Reasons to Be Cheerful, a nonprofit online magazine. And at 12:30, we'll revisit a talk we had about sauerkraut with a food writer and author, Julia Skinner. But first, we are joined by Shed Farley, who oversees the Natural Path Sanctuary. We were talking about just a few minutes ago. It's a natural burial ground established west of Verona in 2011. Sanctuary is part of the Linda and Gene Farley Center for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability, for which Shed Farley is also the director. Shed, welcome. You know, it's been a long time since we last talked.
It's been a long time, 10 years almost.
Almost. And that's when you joined the sanctuary.
That's when I joined. So we started in 2011, like you said. My dad and two other people were running it then. Dad died in 2013. The other two people hung out until I got there.
Well, you, as director, and it's a natural grounds, right?
Natural burial. as natural as you can get.
Talk about the history of that and what led to this all.
So I mean, the lead-up story is, so our cemetery is just in Springdale, just outside of Verona. It was land that my parents had purchased in 1983. They were both physicians. Dad was a doctor or a professor, head of the chairman of the Department of Family Medicine. At UW, mom just went to clinics. So anyway, they had purchased this piece of land in 1983.
1983.
So mom died in 2009. And she had wanted to donate her body to science, and science didn't want her body. It's not uncommon at all. She was 80 years old. And so we didn't have a plan B. So my brothers and I sat down with my dad and decided, well, the place to be is right here in our front yard. In their front yard, not mine, but, and so my brothers and I dug the grave and did everything we could. There was a funeral home involved. And we were just part of the, as much of that process as we could have been. And by the way, none of us, my brothers and I, have ever lived in Wisconsin until I moved here in 2015. But,
well, you know, I've got an email from Kathy who tells a story kind of like yours, and in a way, I mean, at least part of it. She shared that they buried a close friend at his home on their farm. It was one of the most beautiful and intense events Kathy had ever been involved in. The friend's wife and daughter prepared the body and wrapped him in a silk sheet. Kathy and others gathered flowers, cedar boughs, and apples from around the farm. A neighbor dug the hole with his backhoe. A few days before he passed, the body was transferred to the burial site in the back of a pickup and lowered into the hole. Then they talked about him and read poetry as he was covered with flowers and fruits, and then hand shoveled the soil back over him. It was beautiful and personal.
That's a great thing. And at least in Dane County and several other counties, if you have at least 25 acres, you are allowed to bury one person. If you bury two people, it becomes a cemetery, which is how ours became, because Dad wanted to be buried too, so he opened up the whole 25 acres as cemetery.
That is really cool. Kelly emailed to ask, how does the cost differ from conventional burial? Do individuals go with green burial, get put in the ground in specific areas for a green burial? Is there research on effects? Well, there's other questions here. But.
So to answer that question, people choose their own sites. What they do is choose areas. Our cemetery is 25 acres of woods and a little bit of meadow. We don't do anything to it. The only maintenance we do is the paths, and then everything else grows wild, which means that when people want to come visit a person who they have buried there, they have to call in advance. We'll clear the way. We'll mark out the gravesite, because after a year, everything grows just naturally, and you're likely to have blackberries or something growing on your grave. We do allow plantings, too. All native, no soil comes into our cemetery from anywhere else. So bare root, kind of just a.
So you're doing it amongst the trees.
Amongst the trees, we will not even cut trees down. So to look at this, we have on our map, on phase one, 8,240 individual burial sites mapped. Are, as a green burial cemetery, the standard has been set as, well, I'll go back. So a conventional cemetery can have 2,000 or more people per acre. A green burial, the standard is 300 per acre. So we have 25 acres. If that was if that was 2,000 per acre, that's 50,000 barrels. Our, we're not going to have it. We don't have the room. We don't want to do that. So we have our phase one is open now, 12.5 acres. We've sold about half of it. So we're looking at opening up the next section, probably starting this summer. Take a couple years to do it. But
yeah,
but we have lots of room. We do not cut down trees to access the site. We access the sites to stay away from the tree roots so we don't damage them.
Wow. So what's the process like then when someone is, you know, a loved one dies?
So, I mean, Don probably explained the lead up to us, because, our funeral, I'll say this right from the start, our funeral homes in this city are awesome, every one of them. But repeat your question again.
Well, I just, from what is typically occurring?
So what generally happens is, I mean, the family always has questions. So we go through that long before. But there's also questions at the time. So generally speaking, the funeral home will come in and we'll be there, myself and whatever crew I need. And the grave will have already been dug, of course. By the way, when you describe this other person's burial, the only difference between us and them is the backhoe. We don't use backhoes. Everything is dug by hand. So we have transportation. We have a vehicle to transport from the funeral home's coach to wherever the burial is going to be. Because, like I said, it's all paths. Nothing's paved. Everything grows wild. And we do what we need when we need to. But
you're usually, my experience has been at funerals, there are a lot of old people there. How do they get from the starting point to the woods and all that?
So you're talking other than the person we're burying.
Yes.
We have two vehicles.
Okay.
So one can carry the casket or the shrouded body, and then the other can be transferred, you know, transported. They only hold three extra people other than the driver, but we don't have a problem. We just go back and forth when needed. We've had some burials with well over 100 people in attendance, and some with only 3 or 4 people. So it's we get all kinds. If we have 100 people in attendance, we might be shuttling them back and forth frequently. Not too much, though.
Bob emailed to say they have always joked semi-seriously with their son that when I go, I'd like to have my ashes scattered in the Mississippi. Are there people that... Are you familiar with any of the legalities of things of that nature?
Yes, I certainly am. So ashes legally can't be spread on public property. They can be spread on private property or buried or whatever. So legally, you can't do it. If you were caught spreading ashes on public property or in the Mississippi River, you would be cited, you would be given a citation for littering, because ashes have nothing left to them that can be harmful. So there's so it's just littering at that point. Sounds kind of cold, but
yeah. Are there restrictions to green? Well, I think you mentioned one, but Mark had emailed, and maybe it's worth repeating anyway. Are there restrictions on green burials on private property?
One, and that is you're allowed to have one person buried. If you want to, if you bury your husband or your wife or your whoever, your parents, if you want to be buried next to them, you will have to be licensed and certified as a cemetery.
And you need to have 25 acres to begin with?
You need to have minimum 25 acres to begin with.
So you can't be burying your spouse in the backyard of Madison, or can you?
If you own the, if you're talking a full body, you cannot do that outside of a 25 acre, that rule in rural. If you're talking about ashes, then not an issue. You can bury that on your land.
On your own property?
On your own property in the city.
Colleen in Cumberland emailed to ask if you know of any official or public green burials in Barron or Washburn counties.
So what I can say is there have been several attempts. We get probably 10 calls a year asking how people can start their own cemetery. And so it has been tried. There are some other groups from Viroqua. In fact, you mentioned them, or Don, you mentioned them to Don beforehand, and they have done somewhat. They've garnered a section of a conventional cemetery that are allowing them to do green burials. Other than that, there have been other attempts, but nothing has. It's not easy to start a funeral a cemetery. It takes a ton of effort, and it takes land. So if you don't already have the land, that's where to start.
Our guest today, Shed Farley, oversees the Natural Path Sanctuary. It's located west of Verona, Wisconsin. He's also director of the Linda and Gene Farley Center for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability, which includes the sanctuary. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. Talking green burials today was Shed Farley, who oversees the Natural Path Sanctuary. Great to have him with us today. And you can join in. Questions, give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Beth emailed to say they're involved in a small community cemetery and the board has allowed for green burials. They've checked with county and state officials to ensure the legality of the cemetery and they are good to go. Beth said the big holdup has been getting local funeral directors with whom to collaborate. Beth says they need a licensed funeral director to handle transportation of the body, preparation, and digging the grave. Yeah, any tips on getting local funeral directors to cooperate?
So, any tips on it? I don't know. It just happened with us because we're in Madison, so we have a pretty progressive population who are attuned to this kind of thing. So if you're in maybe other parts of the state, and nothing I'm saying is factual other than my last statement, just assuming that there might be some pushback on something like that. We have had pushback from funeral directors in the past, very little. They were just concerned. They'd call me and ask me the details, and it takes about 5 minutes to explain the details, and everything's good to go.
And, of course, you work a lot with Don Adams from Foster Funeral Services. And they are up, they're in Dane Rock and Racine.
Right. So they're quite a bit away from us, but they're just an awesome funeral home. And yeah.
Travis emailed, he tuned in late, and wondered if we'd talked about embalming fluid. Is that outlawed during green burials? Does the lack of embalming impact whether or not there can be a memorial with an open casket?
So let me answer the first question. So embalming is like the number one thing we don't allow. That's just formaldehyde and other chemicals, and they don't go into our ground. So we also don't have vaults in our grave, so it's just a bare earthen hole that we hand dig. Or families can sometimes do that if they want to. They can participate in any way they want. But as far as you asked about after effects or something.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it. Soil is such a good filter. So people have all, in fact, the person mentioned, you read something that they said they thought green burials were illegal in Wisconsin. That's not an uncommon thought, but it's absolutely not true. We have to, as our cemetery, we have to obey every single statute and limitation that every other cemetery has to do. And that's including depth of grave. Our graves are not 6 feet deep or 6.5 feet deep or 5.5. They're 3 feet deep. The regulation on that, state regulations, is 18 inches of soil above the container. So our casket, the standard casket, is 18 inches deep. So another 18 inches makes it 3 feet.
Oh.
So the benefit to having 3 feet instead of 5 feet or six feet is because there's so many more microorganisms that are working on breaking, recomposing the body from this to something that will return back to nature and help feed the forests.
Singing about my brother, who I mentioned died a few weeks back, and in terms of, he died on a Thursday, I believe, and we had a sort of a service on Sunday, and because there was no embalming or anything like that involved, he looked like he was just sleeping.
Ah.
I mean, the fact that there was none of that involved made just viewing him at the end there quite nice.
Yeah. So, and that's good, because I forgot to answer that part. We do have requests sometimes, and you can have viewings if it's very soon.
Yeah.
You know, and you can have had viewings even when it's several days later, just people want to say goodbye. But that doesn't happen as often. And usually the viewings, I believe, are at the funeral home, but not necessarily, because we do it too. And you're not as, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And you're not as made up. You don't have any makeup on, so you're just natural.
Yeah. Kathy emailed, and we've covered this a bit, but I guess it bears repeating. How often do families bring the body of the loved one to the cemetery without the use of a funeral director? Is a family direct burial possible?
In Wisconsin, that is possible. It's a family member has to take all the responsibilities that a funeral home would otherwise have. That includes quite a bit of paperwork that has to get to the right places. Plus, it includes all the transportation. So wherever that person dies has to come to the other person's living room or such, funeral parlor, which they used to be called, and prepare the body. So we have had probably 30 of the close to 500 burials we've had, about 30, maybe a few more, have chosen the family funeral option. And we totally agree. That's a great thing if you're into it, not to save the funeral home money, but for your own satisfaction. If you're only doing it to save money, we don't recommend it.
No, I would not want to do it myself,
right?
Because you're not in a good state to begin with.
Not always.
No. You know, and regardless, even if you know a death is coming, the paperwork on that would not be something that I would want to do myself, for sure.
Our paperwork is very simple. The funeral home end of it, they have a lot more paperwork.
Yeah. Jim in Appleton has something. Jim, hi.
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
So both my parents are buried. Their cremains are buried. They were both cremated. And they're buried on a church property. And it's far less than the 25-acre minimum that your guest is stating these things have to be. I'm just curious if churches have some sort of special dispensation when they're creating memorial gardens like that.
Is there a cemetery on the church grounds?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that might have something to do with it. I don't know if there's any other restrictions put on churches, but it also could be, and I don't know this, it could be that that cemetery has been there much longer than the laws or the statutes restricting anything.
So they're sort of grandfathered in.
So they're grandfathered in. And maybe because it's a church, they're allowed to have one with less than 25 acres.
Yeah, it's up in the air a bit. Joe emailed. He said there's a website that offers human composting services. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. That started in Seattle, I think. And it's a very high-tech process. If you look at the pictures of their composting, it's all electronic. It's got dials and buttons, and it will do the decomposition or recomposition pretty darn quickly, less than a month, to turn a full-on body into compost. And that's basically what it is. There's that one in Seattle. I think they're looking at putting one in Colorado. It's not quite as green as what we do because we don't use electricity. They do. But it's still a valid type of green burial, partly because a system like that is produced because urban cemeteries are filling up so quick. So this gives people a different option.
Wow. And there are, I think there's at least 8 cemeteries in Wisconsin where green burials are allowed. And 5 of them are members of the Natural Path Sanctuary, I believe, and are certified by the Green Burial Council. And are you a part of that? Are you certified?
Yeah, we're absolutely certified. I didn't realize there were 5 others. There are, I know of some. There's a developer here in Madison who at Bishop's Bay, he's putting one in, or he has already done it. And that's sort of a cradle to grave thing that he's imagining. Yeah. And I know there's one in Viroqua, but they use a section of a conventional cemetery. I don't always get calls from people who want to start a cemetery. So sometimes it's a surprise when I find out there's another green cemetery.
So what's the satisfaction in this for you? Must be great.
Oh, I mean, so much. So I'll say this. Before I came here, I was in Colorado. I was a home builder. So I was a general contractor, built homes for 36 years. The first home I built was my parents', which is where the cemetery is. And so coming back to it, after my dad died, all my brothers were pushing me to come take over, I think because they just didn't want to. But I'm so glad I did. My wife is also part of it. She's our program director. And it's just been as fulfilling a career as I could have imagined.
Ever imagined.
Yep. And I get outside. I'm outside all the time. I'm too much in front of the computer these days.
Shed, it's been a pleasure talking with you again. Been a long time, but good to see you again. And we'll probably do this down the road. Thank you so much.
All right. Come visit sometime, Larry.
Shed Farley is overseer of the Natural Path Sanctuary west of Verona. Great to have him with us today to talk about green burials. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a publication that's all good news. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.